I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. As we've just heard, the campaign of Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders expects him to make a full recovery from his recent heart attack, and it says he'll soon be back on the campaign trail. In fact, Sanders says he will definitely be at that Democratic presidential debate next Tuesday night in Ohio. And campaign officials say people are going to be surprised with how good Bernie looks at that debate and how much energy he'll have during that three-hour program. Well, has Bernie's heart attack changed the dynamics of this Democratic race? Does it raise his age as an issue? And what are some of the major challenges facing the campaign in the coming months? We've assembled a great group of reporters to discuss these issues today. Paul Steinheiser is a reporter who follows this race in New Hampshire for a number of news outlets. Paul Heintz is a senior political reporter at 7 Days. And Clay Masters is the lead political reporter and the Morning Edition host at Iowa Public Radio. I'd like to welcome all of you to the program today.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Bob.
I'd like to start just by going around our panel and getting all of your thoughts about how, if at all, Bernie's heart attack impacts his presidential campaign. Is it a liability? Does it really matter? Paul Steinheiser, what do you think?
Yes, it matters. Listen, one of the questions dating back to last year when Sanders was considering a run for the White House, a second straight run, was his age, right? And it has remained a question, as it has for Joe Biden, as it has to a lesser degree for Elizabeth Warren and even Donald Trump, who's 72. This obviously has magnified that issue. And you saw the Sanders campaign this week have a little bit of a issue. Bernie Sanders came out at the beginning of the week and outside his home in Burlington, Vermont, and talked about maybe scaling back the campaign a little bit, not as frenetic a schedule. And that became an instant story. And they had to do some cleanup the next couple of days with that interview with NBC and then again with a video he sent to supporters yesterday talking about how he will be out there on the campaign trail and the campaign will continue. So, yes, this is an issue, and it's been very much magnified by what happened last week in Nevada.
Paul Heintz, what do you think?
Yeah, and first I'd just like to step back briefly if I could and recognize that this is a really tough situation, no doubt, for Senator Sanders and for his family and for the people who've worked with him for a long time. And, you know, I'm sure we all agree that we're hoping for the best and we're wishing him well. And it does sound positive. It does sound like he's doing pretty well given the circumstances. So that's really good news. I would agree with what the other Paul said. This is a problem for him politically, even if his health is okay after this event. And I should note that we don't know for sure that that's the case because we still haven't had full account of what happened. We haven't had access to his doctors, as is often the case when we're talking about very high profile people who are running for president. I'd agree with what Paul said as well about kind of some missteps that the campaign has made in recent days. You know, you heard Jeff Weaver in that interview kind of pushing this on the media, saying, well, you know, the media is just kind of overly fascinated with this issue. Well, for one thing, Senator Sanders is running for president. It's a high stress job. It's, you know, the most important job in this nation. So we have a different standard for the people who are running for president. There's less of an expectation of privacy. And the campaign itself has raised a lot of questions through its own actions by not revealing immediately that this was a heart attack. Senator Sanders has said that he was told immediately that he had suffered a heart attack. Jeff Weaver put out a statement the next morning referring to it as chest discomfort. He says that he didn't know that it was a heart attack, and he wouldn't say whether Senator Sanders had approved the statement he put out. So, the campaign for about a week has sort of done things that have raised questions about the level of transparency around this issue. So I don't think it's just about the media being overly fascinated about it. I think the campaign hasn't really had its story straight on this.
And Clay Masters, what are your thoughts about this? And do you think it's important for the Sanders campaign to release his medical records fairly soon?
I think it would be important at some point to put those out there. You know, I've been covering the presidential race here for 10 months, if you know, even maybe even longer than that, with the Iowa caucuses being first in the nation. And I still have to remind myself regularly that it's still pretty early in the process for a lot of these Iowa likely caucus goers. And a recent Iowa poll that was done by Des Moines Register, CNN, MediaCom at the end of September still showed a lot of people who are going to be caucusing on February 3rd are still trying to make up their minds as to who is going to be the person they're going to support. Bernie Sanders did really well here in 2016. He barely lost to Hillary Clinton. And, I mean, I was at a Cory Booker event, the New Jersey senator who's also running for president, just a couple of days ago. Met a guy, a likely caucus goer, who said he supported Sanders in 2016. And I said, oh, are you sticking with him then? He said, well, this heart attack worries me. So, I mean, I like Cory Booker and I like Elizabeth Warren. So, you know, I'm just keeping my options open. So you're already hearing it on the campaign trail without even bringing it up.
We've gotten a lot of comments about this subject today. I'd like to read a few of them. Ben on Facebook said, if Bernie feels he can do it, I'm right behind him. Dan on Facebook said, I will support the Democratic nominee regardless of who that is. I'm not more concerned about Bernie's health than I am about any other person in office. We heard from Ryan, who says the heart attack absolutely does not change my view on Sanders in 2020. It could happen to anybody. And John in Cornwall emailed, Bernie was too old for me anyway, though he's done some good things. He's never been able to make it clear how he's going to fund his plans. The latest video the campaign released, he just sounds tired. I think his political future is sunsetting. Let's go to our listeners and see what's on their minds today and start with Julia, who is calling from Charlotte.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My comment is that even before Sanders' heart attack, I feel like he and Joe Biden are just too old to excite the nation and especially appeal to younger voters that the Democratic Party really needs. I think Elizabeth Warren is, you know, similar in age, but has a vitality to her that people can get excited about. But I just don't think Sanders or Biden are young enough to really lead the nation.
Okay, Julia, thanks very much for your phone call. Let's talk to John, who's calling from Stratford. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a longtime supporter of Bernie. I supported him in his first run for the House and urged him to run in the last election. However, there comes a time when the issues are bigger than yourself, and there's a place for leaders and there's a place for elder statesmen. And I think Bernie has moved the ball about as far as he can in terms of being a leader. And it's really time for him to, and this is really difficult because when you have, you know, whether you're a sports figure or a politician, when you have people cheering your name all the time, it's, and power is addictive and adulation's addictive. But there is a time to put the issues first. And this might be a good time for Bernie to really consider what's important, and the issues that he has promoted are more important than him being president. And he might want to consider the role of an elder statesman. Thanks.
Okay, John. Thanks very much for your phone call. Let's talk to Will in Burlington. Hey, Will, what's on your mind
there
today?
Hey, I just want to clarify for everybody listening that Bernie Sanders is the only candidate that's proposing what scientists actually say we need to do for climate change. So if Elizabeth Warren, earlier caller, said she thought she was more exciting or whatever for younger people, I don't think anybody's going to excite younger people with a plan for climate change that, even if Elizabeth Warren plan passes, it's not nearly enough. So,
okay, Will, we appreciate your phone call. Clay Masters, I wanted to go back to you're talking about covering this race in Iowa for the last 10 months. Right now, I think those polls, as you mentioned, show Bernie Sanders running third. Is that correct?
Yeah, that latest Iowa poll, which is kind of the gold standard for polling here in the Iowa caucuses races, that is showing Sanders in third, but Elizabeth Warren kind of squeaked out the edge over Joe Biden for the first time in that September 21st poll. And they're both within the margin of error there, Biden and Warren. But Bernie Sanders, you know, has consistently been towards the top of this list. It'll be interesting to see if any polls start coming out in the near future that show him slipping even more. But I mean, like these polls are really showing this as a five-way race right now between the three of those candidates and then lower tier with two other people, Senator Kamala Harris from California and then the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg. And so it is still early. It is still anybody's, you know, could have a breakout moment when there's just a large percentage of people who don't really have their mind made up right now. And there is there are some events coming up there this weekend. There is a union forum with different presidential candidates. Bernie Sanders will be speaking at it via video. I don't know if it's a live video, if it's something that he's prepared. And then there's a big annual dinner that is these candidates, their campaigns spend a bunch of money on to make grand entrances. And then they give this speech. Barack Obama made a big one there in 2007 before the 2008 Iowa caucuses. That was one of his really shining breakthrough moments. That dinner is coming up on the 1st of November. And I just got an email today confirming that Senator Sanders will be there.
Clay, you mentioned some of the other lower tier candidates. Do you think they're all really banking on Iowa? It mm-hmm. sounds like Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Cory mm-hmm. Booker, Amy Klobuchar. Mm-hmm. They got to do well in Iowa to continue on in the race. What are the chances of one of them kind of breaking through because they're spending so much time in Iowa?
Yeah, they're spending so much time in Iowa, and then they're also spending so much money in Iowa. So the chances are still good there, and they're at an advantage because they're coming back here so regularly, whereas Senator Sanders, you know, can only – well, we'll see when he can make it back out to Iowa. But there is still a chance – again, I'm going back to the same point here – that a lot of people are still very undecided as to how they're going mm-hmm. to decide. And when you go to these events, you talk to people and they're kind of saying, yeah, I've got my list narrowed down to these three or four people. We also had a big multi-candidate event. They call it the Polk County Steak Fry. And one thing that was interesting to note was you had Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke. And immediately after Warren spoke, it was Senator Bernie Sanders. And when she was done speaking, Sanders took the stage. You saw all these people in these Elizabeth Warren shirts leaving so they could go get their selfie taken with her, and they weren't staying to see Senator Sanders speak. So it was kind of this like moment where you might see a little bit of how these allegiances are shifting or changing. You know, there's a little bit of astroturfing that happens at these events too, where campaigns are encouraging supporters to show up. But it was kind of a representative of just how different of a field this is than it was 4 years ago, obviously, with the amount of people that are running.
Paul Steinhauser, what about New Hampshire? Now, here's a state that Bernie won 4 years ago. What's happening over there now?
Yeah, Bernie owned this state 4 years ago. He crushed Hillary Clinton by 22 points, and that launched him into that meteoric rise. And that battle didn't end until he eventually endorsed Hillary Clinton after the primary calendar was over, right back here in New Hampshire that summer. As the other Paul just said, it's a very different race, obviously, here in New Hampshire. This time around, here in New Hampshire and elsewhere. The latest polling here, we had two live operator polls just in the last couple of weeks from Monmouth University and from St. Anselm College. Both show the same thing. Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden tied at the top within the sampling era, and Bernie Sanders battling for third place with Pete Buttigieg, the South Bend, Indiana mayor. Sanders has a very strong operation in the state. He's probably got one of the top three or four. So does Elizabeth Warren. So does Biden, and so does Buttigieg. They've all spent a lot of money to build big staffs here. They've got strong grassroots outreach. Bernie Sanders still has a lot of committed people in the state, devoted followers who were with him in 2015 and 2016 and never stopped supporting him. Bernie Sanders' steering committee has met every month in this state since the 2016 election. They've never gone away. So he's got a lot of committed supporters, but again, it's a very different race. And a lot of what he made mainstream back in 2016, the policies he was preaching then have now been co-opted or shared by a lot of the other contenders. And so there are other people that some of these supporters now are going to. And let's also remember, back in 2016, it wasn't just progressives that were going for Bernie Sanders. If you didn't like Hillary Clinton, there was really only one other option, and that was Bernie Sanders. And guess what? In the 2016 Democratic primaries, there were a lot of people who didn't like Hillary Clinton, and that helped feed the support for Bernie Sanders. That's not the storyline this time around.
Paul Heintz, we got this comment from Jennifer on Facebook, who wrote us, "There's a stigma with the word heart attack. My first professor in college had stents placed when he was 40 years old. He went on to live another 30 years and is still in great health. I'm pretty happy knowing that Bernie is fully aware of his health. VPR, you're part of shaping public discourse using those words in your headline piece. Please address your own issue first." Paul, you touched on this, that it took the Sanders campaign 3 days to actually say that he had a heart attack. And then in that NBC interview, Bernie acknowledged, yeah, they told him Tuesday night he had had a heart attack. So the campaign itself has not really handled it all that well.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, I'm no medical doctor, but and you know, from all that I have read, many people who have a similar condition go on to live long and healthy lives. You know, I will say that it is different to have this sort of health event and be, you know, living an ordinary life than it is to have this kind of health event and be on the presidential campaign trail or serving in the high stress job of president. So I'm not really sure that, you know, comparing Sanders to an ordinary person makes a lot of sense for these purposes. But, you know, getting beyond the question of whether he is actually healthy enough to run and to serve, really the thing that I guess I'm trying to focus on is the perception issue. And that's really what matters here, because I think that, you know, there were already questions about Senator Sanders' age to begin with. To be honest with you, I personally haven't share those concerns because I've covered him for a long time, and he doesn't seem, you know, he never really seemed like an older person, like, you know, like he had any kind of lack of energy. I've always been impressed by his stamina. He campaigns harder than anyone else I've ever seen up close. I have a hard time keeping up with him when I'm covering him on the campaign trail, and I'm quite a bit younger than him. But I have heard, you know, in the time that I've covered him, people raising that question of age. In fact, I heard about that just last week, that I was covering him at some events in New Hampshire the day before the heart attack. And I spoke to a voter then who had, and of course, this is just an anecdote, doesn't tell you all that much, but this voter had voted for Sanders in 2016. She went to see him that day, and she was still kind of weighing her options. You know, I asked her if she had any concerns, just an open-ended question like that, and she mentioned Sanders' age as really the only concern that she had. I followed up with her a week later after the heart attack, and she said basically that was enough to kind of cross Sanders off her list because, you know, she already had concerns about his age, learning about this health event. It was just a little bit too much for her. And as, you know, as one of the other guests said before, this is so different from 2016. It's not a binary choice. There are so many other candidates. And in fact, there are other candidates who share a lot in common with Senator Sanders. So if you're a progressive voter, you know, it's not Bernie or nobody. It's maybe Bernie or Warren or Tulsi Gabbard or, you know, any number of other candidates.
Clay, you had a thought?
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, that, you know, when this press release came out from the Sanders campaign saying that he had a myocardial infarction, I mean, I Googled that because I was unaware of that. And the first thing that comes up is says another term for heart attack. And so, you know, that was realizing that this is the way that they're trying to present this to make it not seem like a real big deal. And one of the Pauls earlier was saying that, you know, they've been hearing from people the age is a concern. And I've certainly been hearing that about Sanders as I've been talking to likely caucus goers here in Iowa. I hear about it as about Joe Biden as well. But then another thing to remember here, too, is that, you know, a lot of support for Sanders is already baked in here in Iowa. You know, in March of this year, when he held a few rallies at some of our larger cities, I mean, this was when a lot of other campaigns were holding these small events, kind of these meet and greets. But there were people in those audiences that were saying, you know, I trust Bernie Sanders. I'm going to stand by him no matter what. So we're still kind of just seeing how the chips are falling after this, and I think it's really going to be interesting to see as some of these more big events here in Iowa start taking place to hear what people who are going to those engaged caucus goers are saying about him on the ground here.
Well, next Tuesday night, we have a Democratic presidential debate that's taking place in Iowa. The Sanders campaign says people are going to be amazed when they see Bernie at that debate, that he's going to be the energetic and feisty person that we've all seen on the campaign trail. Paul Steinhauser, how important is this campaign debate going to be for Bernie Sanders?
Extremely important. Be out there covering the debate, and as I head out, I'll also be writing a preview story, kind of setting up all the action for Fox News, who I often file for. And look, to me, what are the big three storylines at this debate coming up? I think one is how much impeachment will overshadow everything else at the debate. Number two, because of that, will the top-tier candidates, especially a Joe Biden, not be in the crosshairs this time like he has been in every other debate? But the third storyline, and just as important as the other two, is Bernie Sanders. Will he be lively? Will he his health shine through? It's so important for him. Remember, at the last debate, he was not feeling great. He was hoarse. His voice did not sound good. That people noticed that. So, of course, there are going to be so many eyes on Bernie Sanders in Ohio on Tuesday night in primetime.
Paul Heinz, you were talking earlier about public perception of Sanders. So Tuesday night sounds like a big deal.
Yeah, it's definitely a big deal. And, you know, he does have to perform at this debate and reassure people. I think one of the challenges that he's going to face is that he, you know, there's going to be some pressure for him to show that he can still do what he used to do, still campaign vigorously. And if he doesn't do that, there'll be a million stories about how it looks like he's not able to do what he used to be able to do. At the same time, from a medical perspective, he probably shouldn't be doing what he used to do. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, he campaigns so hard. He works so hard. He doesn't, you know, he by his own admission, he hasn't been sleeping a whole lot. So, you know, from a medical perspective, he probably should take it easier. So, you know, it just kind of goes to show that he's in a bit of a tough bind here.
Let's turn to Lisa, who is calling from South Burlington. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I guess my only comment is I feel as though no one's acknowledged that Senator Sanders has suffered an unimaginable personal loss over the last week or so of his daughter-in-law. This is the mother of his grandchildren. It was 3 weeks from diagnosis to her death. And I can only imagine what the family was going through this last month, including Senator Sanders. And I just feel as though people need to give him a little bit of a break here. We don't know what anyone is dealing with in their personal lives, but I think he's doing great, and I'm looking forward to hearing him debate. But I just wanted to make that point because I think it's sad that it's not even being acknowledged. This woman contributed so much, and I'm just disappointed by the coverage of it. So thank you. I'll take it off the air.
Lisa, thanks for your phone call, and you make a very important point, so I really appreciate you calling that in and making us aware of that, because that certainly is a very important issue in this whole mix. So, Lisa, thank you very much. Sanders says he wants to make Medicare for All just a key issue in this campaign now, and that in his campaign video, he said while he was lying in his hospital bed, and these were his words, he was thinking about the fact that he had great health care coverage, and there are many Americans who don't and who would have to go into debt, severe debt, in order to get the kind of coverage that he has. Clay Masters, he's kind of personalizing this health issue as a way to sell Medicare for All.
Yeah, he is. And this is health care, like it is a lot of presidential election cycles. We're seeing this come up a lot from people who are going to these events, talking about this as being one of their important parts of what they're thinking about when they're planning on who to caucus for. And Sanders and Warren are kind of falling in this one camp of Medicare for All. And we're hearing a lot of people like Joe Biden talks about the public option, building on the Affordable Care Act, Pete Buttigieg and his Medicare for All Who Want It, which is a little bit different. So, I mean, like, I think people that are really focused on Medicare for All and like the idea that he has. I think that they're still going to probably be really considering him. And we were talking earlier about Elizabeth Warren, and I think you might see more people trying to make up their minds between the two of them, because those are a lot of times when I talk to people at events where their minds aren't made up, you'll see Sanders and Warren kind of in that same category of people that they're considering.
Paul Steinhauser, Bernie has been talking about Medicare for all. He's been talking about free college tuition. He's been talking about eliminating student debt. Would you expect at this debate on Tuesday night that some of the other candidates are going to start to challenge Sanders on how are you going to pay for this?
Well, they have in the past. Remember the second round debate in Detroit. It was a circular fire at Sanders and Warren, and they fought back pretty well, mostly over Medicare for All, but also on some of the other proposals you just mentioned. So we've seen it in the past, and we may see it again. Here's the thing about this next debate coming up. The last couple of debates have been dominated by Medicare for All. Basically, I remember in July in Detroit, I think the first 30 or 40 minutes of that debate was all about Medicare for All. The same story last month in the third round debate. But because of what's happened with impeachment and how it is now dominating the discussion, really overshadowing policy proposals in the Democratic race, I think, unfortunately, that'll be reflected in this debate. I think you'll hear a lot more about impeachment and a lot less about the issues that voters really care about. You know, when I go to all these campaign events here in New Hampshire, and we see the candidates all the time as well, people are not asking that much about impeachment. When they ask about impeachment, they're concerned. Their questions are whether that'll sidetrack the discussion about the other issues. So I think that may play out on the national stage on Tuesday night.
Paul Heinz, we're almost out of time. We've got about a minute left. But as we've talked about during this program, 2020 is quite a bit different for Bernie Sanders than 2016. At some point here, does he have to differentiate his candidacy from that of Elizabeth Warren?
Well, you know, I think that he has been trying to do that. Jeff Weaver has tried to make the case that that Sanders' policies are more progressive than Elizabeth Warren's. One of our callers earlier made that point as well. I think he's going to have to keep doing what he's doing, which is he's really energized his own base. He's raised a ton of money and he's worked really hard. And I think that, one should never count out Bernie Sanders. He has been beating people's expectations of him for his, entire political career. And he's not someone who gives up easily. He fights really hard. And, to those who are wondering whether he would drop out of this race, I think it would be it would take a lot more than this to get him to drop out of the race. So I think he'll keep at it.
Wolf, along with many other people, will be watching the debate on Tuesday night. And then next Wednesday on Vermont Edition, we'll take a look at how things unfolded in that debate and what it means for the Democratic presidential campaign. I'd like to thank all of our guests today for a great program. Paul Heinz, Paul Steinhauser, and Clay Masters. Thank you all very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.